I want to talk to you this morning about a rather sensitive subject. It seems that everywhere I go today that there are people who have stopped going to church or given up on church because they've been hurt by the church. Now, one of the things that I want to make clear is that the church is made up of people. So when people say that they've been hurt by the church, what they're really saying is they've been hurt by a group of people, or someone in that group has hurt their feelings. And, that faceless organization has not really hurt them. What happened is that someone that they know has hurt them or hurt their emotions. So we're going to talk about what it means to be hurt by the church and what it means to recover from something like that. Because one of the things that we need to understand is that the enemy wants us to abandon the church. The church is really a God-ordained institution that is filled with flawed individuals. The church is made up of people that make mistakes. The church is made up of people who just for one reason or another are damaged and lash out at others, or immature people that don't know how to handle relationships, or people that are just plain mean. Those people are part of the church too, and we need to recognize that. Not only is the church a God-ordained institution filled with flawed individuals, but it's also a hospital. It's a place where those who are wounded and ravaged by sin can go. You know, it was several years ago now that I came across an animal that had been hurt and laying on the side of the road, and I went to help that animal, and I tried to explain to it, listen, I'm here to help you. I want to make you feel better. I want to heal you. I want you to grow. I want you to get better. And that animal bit at me. He became angry when I approached him. He became hurt. How many of you know that hurt people hurt people? The church is a place where those who have been wounded and ravaged by sin are welcome and who are brought for healing. But sometimes those people don't know how to relate to others, and hurt occurs and problems occur, and it's difficult to deal with them sometimes. And if you're hurt, you can do real damage to yourself. The church is also a place where truth is told in love. The Bible encourages us to tell the truth in love, but I've discovered something over my years of ministry, and what I've discovered is that not everybody appreciates the truth being told to them. We don't like being told that we're wrong. We don't like being told that we're in sin. We don't like knowing that what we're doing is not profitable, is not helpful. And I've had many instances where I've had to tell people the truth in love, but they didn't receive it in love. And they were hurt by the truth, because sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes it's tough to know that we're not doing the right thing, that we are headed for destruction, and we can be hurt by the truth. But the church is also the bride of Christ. Jesus loves the church. And one other thing about being the bride of Christ, it's not proper to say that you are the bride of Christ, because you're not. The church is. All of us together make up the church. Jesus died for the church. He died for you and I, but he died for the church also. And we need to remember that the church is all of us together, getting along in love and unity and harmony. And when you abandon the church, you're abandoning the bride of Christ. Now you can say, well, I'm having church by myself, but that's really an oxymoron. You cannot have church by yourself. The church is the gathering of the called out ones. It's those people that gather together, and you know, maybe some people have been hurt by the church, and so they've given up on the church. They've really kind of abandoned church, and they feel like they can worship God in the woods or all by themselves or whatever. But that's really not true. I understand what they're trying to say, but that's not true. That's not the church. The church is when we gather together in love with each other. Now, what do all these things have in common with each other? What do all of these issues of the church have in common with each other? Well, it's very simple. Wherever you have the church, you have the potential for hurt. You have the opportunity for unfairness to rear its ugly head. There's the opportunity for pain and for misunderstanding to occur. Why? Because the church is made up of flawed individuals. There's not one perfect person here today. And yet you're part of the church. We're all growing in Christ. Mistakes are made. People are unkind and don't always interpret things correctly. Any number of things can cause pain and suffering. Now I want you to understand, when I'm talking about pain and suffering and being hurt by the church, I'm not minimizing that pain that you're experiencing. I'm not saying you just need to get over it. I'm not saying it's not really pain. You shouldn't really be hurt. I'm saying you need to conduct yourself in a proper manner when you've been hurt. How you react to pain and suffering is very, very important. It's not a question of whether you've been hurt, because if you're going to go to this church or any other church anytime, you are going to experience hurt sometime. Because every time you open your heart to someone, you open up the possibility of being hurt. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hands here to this question, okay? You got it? Do not raise your hands to answer this question. Here's the question. How many of you have ever been hurt by your spouse? Well, everybody could raise their hand. We've all been hurt at one time or another by our spouse. We've all opened our hearts up to somebody. Some of you have been hurt greatly. You've had your love rejected. You've had your love walked away from. You've experienced divorce. You've experienced abandonment. And you know what that feels like. Anytime you open up your heart to someone, you make yourself vulnerable. We need to be very careful that we react properly to those kinds of hurts. Not saying it doesn't hurt, but that there's that opportunity for hurt everywhere that you live an exposed life. Now, the lesson this morning are five questions to ask yourself if you've ever been hurt by the church. Now, I want you to note that these are all questions that you have to answer yourself. They're not addressed to the people that hurt you. You can't do anything about them. The hurt is already done. You can't change people. You can never change people. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. We need to understand that this morning. We cannot change whether we're hurt or not. The only thing that we can really control is how we respond to the hurts that are in our lives. There's a strong pull in our hearts and in our spirits to blame somebody, to make them change, to kind of protect our own interests and say, listen, if you hadn't done that, then I would not be hurt. And while that's true, we need to understand that you cannot change people's behavior. You can only control yourself. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says this, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there, go be reconciled to that person, and then come offer your sacrifice to God. Now, I want you to notice what it does not say. It does not say, I will wait for that person to come to their senses, to come and apologize and ask my forgiveness, then I will grant it, and then everything will be all right. It puts the onus of action on the person that has been hurt. It puts the requirement on the person that has experienced the pain to go to that person and to make things right and to make sure that they're all right. Then you can come and worship. In Galatians 6, 4 through 5, it says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. And then verse 5 says, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. You see, if you think that you're going to change somebody else's behavior by your pain and by your suffering, you're badly mistaken. That's not going to happen. But you can control your reaction to pain. You can control your reaction to hurt. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Philip Yancey, that great Christian writer, wrote this. He said, at a deep level, I sense the church contains something I desperately need. Whenever I abandon church for a time, I find that I am the one who suffers. My faith fades, and the crusty shell of lovelessness grows over me again. I grow colder rather than hotter. And so my journeys away from the church have always circled back inside. Philip Yancey understood that he needed the church, that you can't just walk away from it, that you can't abandon it. No matter how bad you've been hurt, you need the church. You need its comfort. You need its strength. You need what it has to offer. Theodore Roosevelt said, if you could kick a person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble, you wouldn't sit for a month. And many times we have our own difficulties and problems that we have to work through. Now I'm going to ask five questions that you should ask yourself whenever you've been hurt by the church or by the people in the church or by a friend, by a neighbor, by someone that you're close to. If you're a hurt this morning, these are five questions for self-examination. That's so important. Self-examination. Not feeling sorry for yourself, not feeling angry at the person who hurt you. Those all have their places, but don't let them control you. You control the hurt that's in your life. Make sure that you make sure you answer these questions before you go any further. Question number one is this, and it's very simple. Is this worth being hurt over? Is this worth being hurt over? You know, many times being hurt is often a choice. Sometimes it's not, especially that first flush of pain, of suffering, of agony that we feel when someone does something that bothers us, somebody does something that's against us. We often feel sorry for ourselves in that moment. But once that first flush is over, you have to ask yourself the question, is this worth being hurt over? Being hurt is often a choice. It's always a choice if you will stay hurt. It's always a choice if you are going to continue in your hurt. One of the questions you have to ask, is this a moral issue or a character flaw? If you're hurt over a moral issue, that's one thing. If someone is treating you the opposite of what Jesus said to do, then that's one thing. Then you need to put Matthew 15 into process. Then you need to go to them. You need to ask forgiveness. You need to offer forgiveness, whatever needs to be done to make that thing right. But folks, many times we're hurt over things that are just simply character flaws. Did you ever meet somebody, did you ever have somebody in your life who, if they ask you to pass the salt, their character, their demeanor, their attitude, just makes you want to not pass the salt to them? Did you ever meet somebody like that? There are rude people in this world. There are people who are blunt. They don't mean harm. They don't mean to offend people, but they're just so blunt. God made them that way. They need to learn. They need to grow. But it's not a sin issue. And you need to ask yourself, is it really worth being hurt over something like this? Do I need to retain this kind of pain that I'm in, or do I need to let it go? In Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. You know, it's funny, those things that really annoy us in other people are often traits that we have in our lives that annoy us about ourselves. And so we need to be careful that we understand the faults of each other and take them into consideration when pain and suffering come. Is it worth being hurt? Is it worth causing all that pain in my life and lingering in it over something that I can't control anyway and that I need to just forgive and go on with? Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Question number one is very simple. Is this worth being hurt over? Once you answer that question, you can go on to question number two. Question number two is a little bit tougher. It's a little bit more difficult for us to grasp and get a hold of. But we need to ask the question. And the question is this. What role did I play in the hurt I experienced? That's right. What role did I play in the hurt that I experienced? Being in pain doesn't mean you're not at fault for your pain. I want you to hear that again. Because you're in pain does not mean that it's not your fault that you're in pain. Nor does it mean that someone needs to pay the price for your pain. You know, one of the things that we need to do if we're in pain is to ask ourselves questions like this. Do I have unrealistic expectations of the church? We've had people that have been upset at North Point, at me, at the board, because they had unreal expectations of the church. We've had people who, this didn't actually happen, I'm using it for an illustration, but people who were about to lose their home and expect the church to buy their house for them. Now, there's been situations like that that are just unreasonable, and you can't expect the church to bail everybody out of every situation. It's just not possible to do that. And when your expectations are unreasonable, you're going to be hurt. You need to keep your expectations reasonable and within the realm of possibility. Maybe you place trust in an unworthy person. You know, the Bible says that you have to love everybody. It doesn't say that you have to trust everybody. Some people are not worthy of trust. Don't trust a gossip. If you know somebody has problems with gossip, don't entrust them with the secrets of your heart and then be hurt when they pass that along. That's your role in experiencing the hurt. Do you dwell on positive or negative ideas? You know, most of us think that we're positive people, but I think that a lot of us are bent towards the negative. We kind of protect ourselves that way by expecting the worst, and then when the worst happens, it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says this, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are." In other words, have a realistic expectation of your character and who you are. Accept that you can make mistakes. Accept that if you're in pain, you may have played a role in the causing that pain that helped you in your life. And then it goes on and it says, "Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you." You need to be honest in your role, in your expectations, and in your realizations of what has happened in your life. You need to ask question number two, what role did I play in the hurt that I experienced? And I think that many times, if you're honest with yourself, you can find out that if you had treated the situation differently, you could have lowered the pain level significantly. Question number three, am I hurt because I didn't get my way? Am I hurt because I didn't get my way? You know, this is really something that the Bible labels pride. Pride is wanting your own way. Pride is thinking that your way is the only way or the best way. And you can't believe that people didn't listen to you and didn't go along with your ideas. Pride is a destructive thing no matter which way you slice it. You need to ask yourself some hard questions. Do I think my way is the only way? Do I frequently get upset if my ideas aren't taken? If you're disagreed with, do you get angry? That's a sign of pride. If your first thought is, I can't believe that they're not listening to me, I can't believe that they can't see things the way that I see things, that's a real marker for pride in your life. And the Bible calls pride a sin. It's not just a fault. It's not just a character flaw. It's sin. It needs to be confessed. It needs to be gotten rid of. Humbleness is what God desires in our hearts, not pride. As a matter of fact, the Bible is full of verses that warn against the sin of pride. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall." In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all, and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" Proverbs 21:4 says, "Haughty eyes, a proud heart, and evil actions are all sin." You know, the Bible wants us to be careful of pride in our life. And I think that most of us are probably more proud than we even care to acknowledge. We need to ask God for a heart of humility, a heart that says, you know, I can learn from other people. My way doesn't have to be my way or the highway. We need to understand that God hates pride in our lives, and He is seeking to drive it out. And sometimes He sends people with better ideas or other ways of doing things as a way to help us see the pride in our lives so that we can get rid of it. In Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4, it says this, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." That's good advice. If you don't get your way, do you get angry? Do you get upset? Is your way the only way? Are you hard to deal with? Are you uncompromising? Now, there are some things we should never compromise in. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." There can be no compromise with that kind of understanding. Jesus is the only way. He said He's the only way. And we don't compromise that kind of thing. But folks, we don't need to have disputes about what kind of toilet paper we should use at church. We don't have to have disputes over what brand of coffee we serve. We don't have to have disputes about what the order of service should be like. As long as God's word is proclaimed, that's all that really matters. And if you get upset over those things because your way is not taken up, you need to really ask yourself, am I being a person that's prideful? Am I allowing pride to rule in my life? And if it is, if you're honest with yourself, and if it is, you need to confess that sin and make it right before God. Question number four is very important. Is the pain worth causing division and dissension in the body of Christ? You see, pain can make us very selfish. And pain can cause people to rally to our side, and pain can cause us to want our own way, and all of those things can cause division and dissension in the body of Christ. You know, the church is only as strong as you are. We are a chain of links together, and all it takes is one link of that chain to be broken before division and dissension can take place in the body of Christ. You know, the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to devour the church. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to pull it apart at the seams. And if he can do that through dissension, which, by the way, is one of the most popular reasons that he causes dissension, is because it will destroy the church, he'll do it. We need to be careful that we are not that link that breaks. Everyone here has that possibility. Everybody here in this building this morning has the possibility of being that weak link that causes dissension and division in the body of Christ. God's way is harmony and unity. He says it over and over again. In Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity or in harmony." God wants the church to be harmonious. He wants to be a place where my will doesn't matter and your will doesn't matter, but let's come to agreement under the Word of God and let's go forward in unity and in harmony. Don't be that weak link. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. That's what the Bible says. Don't think that you know it all. You know, humility says, I have something to learn from everyone here. I have something to learn from everybody here this morning. My way isn't the only way. And if it's not a principle that is uncompromising in the Word of God, of which there are a few, but not many, then I need to compromise in order to maintain harmony. That's humility. That's humbleness. Pride says, you must do it my way. I am God's oracle. I am His chosen servant. You must listen to me. And if you don't listen to me, I'm going to take my marbles and go worship elsewhere. And that's not hard to do. There's a lot of churches in Holland. And if you don't like what's going on in this church, you can go somewhere else very easily and kind of take your marbles and go play with someone else. But that's not what God's Word says to do. He would rather you swallow your pride, live in harmony, live in humility, live in oneness here at North Point, and to get along with everybody that's here. Romans 15:5. May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Jesus Christ. Question number 4 is very important, because you have the power to split the church. You have the power to quench the Spirit of God. You have the power to destroy the work of God that's going on. You have the power to turn sinners away from God because we don't act in love towards each other. Is my hurt worth division and disharmony in the church? Then we come to question 5, the final question that we have this morning. And question 5 is where it all comes down to, where the rubber meets the road. Will I forgive them? You see, if you've been hurt, the first thing that you need to consider is forgiveness. It should be our default action when we get hurt. Now, I know hurt is real, and I've tried to make clear through this whole sermon this morning that I know that hurt is real. It matters. It affects you. It bothers you. It's painful. I know that. It can change your life if you let it. But the question is, will you forgive them? God's standard for forgiveness is high. It's very high. As a matter of fact, unforgiveness is about the only way that I know of that you can actually tie the hands of God. Did you know the Bible says that when we don't forgive others, we prevent God from forgiving us? That's how important forgiveness is in God's eyes. Forgiveness says, I don't care what you feel like. Don't wait until you feel like forgiving. You get up and go to work every day whether you feel like it or not, don't you? Of course you do, because it's the right thing to do, because there are rewards attached to it, because there are punishments attached to it. All of these things are ways that we overcome feelings. Feelings don't matter really all that much. We place such an importance on feelings in our culture today, but you know what? They really don't matter. The Bible says that our heart is exceedingly deceitful, and what you feel in your heart isn't always the truth. As a matter of fact, it's rarely the truth. But we like the feeling, and so we go with the feeling. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, Jesus says this, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive your sins." Well, we like that. But the rest of it goes like this, "But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." If you refuse to forgive others, the Father will not forgive our sins. There's a story in Matthew chapter 18. It's the story of the unforgiving servant. This servant incurs a great debt, far more than he could ever pay. Hundreds of thousands of dollars he owed his master. And finally, his master got sick of carrying him on his back, and he called him in and he says, "Your note is due." And the servant throws himself at the master's feet and he says, "Oh, give me one more chance. Please don't throw me in jail. Don't make my payment due. I'll make it up to you." And the king, the master kind of laughs to himself. "You'll never pay this back, not if you live to be 1,000 years old. But he does something better than that. He says, "Listen, I'm going to erase your debt. You don't owe it to me anymore. Go your way." The servant is overjoyed. He goes out of the king's presence. He's free at last. But then he runs into a man who owes him a quarter. 25 cents, just a little bit of money. And he says, "Pay up now." And the man that owed him the money said, "Please, just give me another chance. I'll pay it to you when I can." He says, "Nope, not going to accept it. Your note is due. I'm going to take it from you whether you want me to or not." Well, the other servants of the king heard this story, and they went to the king and told on him. And the king called him back, and he said, "Listen, you were shown mercy, but you didn't show mercy to those that needed it from you. So I'm going to take back my forgiveness." He unforgave his forgiveness. Can you imagine that? And he had him thrown in jail. And then in the story, Jesus says this, "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and your sisters from your heart." That's a sobering piece of scripture, my friends. That should bring us to our knees this morning. That should bring us to our knees this morning. We need to understand that forgiveness is high on God's chart of what He wants it in our lives. We should understand that to not forgive puts our very souls in danger. You know, there's this big debate that says, can you lose your salvation? Well, I don't know about that. Well, I do know about that. But I don't know. It certainly is clear that you can lose your forgiveness. And if you lose your forgiveness, you've lost it all. This is what my Father will do to you if you don't forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Have you been hurt by the church? Have you been hurt by somebody inside the church? Has it made you rethink your commitment to the church? I want you to know something. The church is a flawed institution, and for one reason and one reason alone. It's because it's full of flawed people. But it's Christ's bride. It's the love of His life. He died for the church. And He wants us to forgive those who have sinned against us just as surely as God has forgiven us who have sinned against Him. It hangs in the balance today. If you've been hurt by the church, I want you to forgive them. I want you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to offer the forgiveness that you can only give to them. And your very soul depends upon it, folks. We need to be very careful about this. We need to take the Word of God seriously. You see, the church is a wonderful, beautiful place. It's a place of healing, it's a place of growth, and it's also a place where sometimes pain and suffering occur. But God offers us a way out if we'll listen to Him. Let's forgive each other today, shall we? Will you pray with me? In Jesus' name.